Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome. This is from Abiding Love Worship Center Ministries. This is Evangelist Aaron and Sheila Gervais, and I have a very high privilege to welcome Sheila tonight. She is going to start Ladies' Night, and tonight's message is all going to be about life is found in living. Going to start going through Psalm 23. Let you know we're going to do a broadcast tonight, the Ladies' Night. Then we'll start again on the 28th. And so without further ado, just want to welcome Sheila and just let her ministry and just prepare to receive from God what he has for you tonight. And thank you for listening in.
Well, good evening, ladies, and truly what a privilege and honor it is to get to present to you the Word of God this evening. I do not take it lightly, ministering His Word, and so I'm truly just honored with the opportunity. As Pastor Aaron stated, we are going to be doing a series from Psalms 23 on the premise of life is found in living. And truly what we're going to hope to grasp from this series is understanding life with a capital L is truly found in Him, and when we're living with Him and in Him, we come to life. And so I just want to take it from that concept, and we're going to start in Psalms 23 and 1. And once again, our focus, I want you to realize this evening as we talk, is you can live in confidence in God's grace and His care for you. And so I'm going to break this down for you and explain it to you, and at the end, I pray that you just soak this in and walk away just confident in what the Lord Jesus has given to you. Our scripture reference for this evening is, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And that is taken from Psalms 23 and 1. And the first thing we're going to look at is the word shepherd. And just for a moment, I just want you to close your eyes and I just want you to picture your shepherd. How do you see him? What is your perspective of God? With your eyes closed in this picture, this image of him in your mind, do you see him as this massive figure standing over you? Maybe his arms crossed and he's looking down at you, waiting to correct all your mistakes and punish you? Is that how you see your shepherd, your God? Or do you see him as he is, your shepherd? A skillful, tender, compassionate God who cares, guides, and looks out for your well-being and safety daily. How you see God will determine what you believe about him and how he sees you. I pray that as we continue this, that you can see God opening his arms towards you. His arms are no longer crossed, and his face, his features are gentle, and his features are calm, and his arms are open, and he's welcoming, and he's welcoming to you. It's a place of safety, a place of refuge, a place where you can truly lay your head down. The next part I want us to look at is just the phrase, my shepherd. How many times have we read Psalms 23 and 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," and then we just move on? We're actually focused on the not want part, but are we actually focused on the my shepherd? The word my, two little words, such huge meaning. He's my shepherd. It's personal. He's my God. He's Jesus to me. Not just your father's shepherd or your mother's shepherd or your grandparents' shepherd of old. He's my shepherd. He's yours. He's your own God. This is a defining a personal relationship that you can have with him and he with you. You see, it's not about a set of rules and laws that you follow so you can be accepted and so you can be good. It's all about his love. And because there's love, you will live to love him in return. You see, because we love him simply and only because he first loved us. That is the beginning of our relationship with our shepherd. You know, when I sit and think about this relationship aspect, I think, isn't that all what we're looking for in life? You know, we're all looking for that personal relationship, you know, where someone has welcoming arms to us and they know us and they want to spend time with us and we all want somebody to take care of us and tend to us and be there with us. And haven't we all tried to find it in others? And maybe at some point in time in our lives, we've all tried to find it looking to people without looking through the Lord first. And then what do we experience in that relationship? We experience the world in that relationship. And eventually that relationship will not work. And we experience abandonment because it's going to fail. And I feel really, really right now that I want to stress. I'm going to take a moment from my notes. I'm going to stress to someone out there. Listen, before you enter into relationships, go through the Lord first. Let the Lord direct who is coming into your life. Let the Lord choose for who is to come into your life. That way you're choosing for the reasons that the Lord would have you choose, not for the reasons that you think that you need in a relationship. Because when you already have the Lord, you already have all that you need. And he will just bring another individual into your life to enhance and to share that life with. Listen, when you go through the Lord first, it doesn't mean that relationships are going to be easy. But you're going to have that common bond between the two of you, that foundational piece of the Lord Jesus Christ that will keep you held together through the tough times. And there will not be an abandonment issue that takes place in that relationship because when the Lord is in it, the things are not going to fail. People will fail you. I'm telling you right now, ladies, the Lord will never fail you. So look to him first before you look anywhere else. Someone out there has experienced abandonment issues and has a fear that you still hold on to very tightly. Listen, ladies, listen. Hear what the Lord has to say to you. That it was not the Lord that abandoned you in that relationship. Okay? It was the relationship that abandoned you, not the Lord. Hold on to that. Someone that is for your spirit right now as I'm speaking, that is for you. The Lord did not abandon you. And the pain that you felt from that relationship was not from the Lord. He did permit it for your growth and opportunity for you, but he did not abandon you. It was the relationship that abandoned you. And you can be healed from that. And that fear of abandonment, the Lord can heal you from that fear. So as I go through this, I'm going to be praying for whoever is having the fear of abandonment. And you have fear of entering relationships, even to the point that you have a fear of entering into a relationship to be closer to the Lord. But you need to know that the Lord never leaves and the Lord never forsakes. He will not abandon you. The next point I want to look at is I shall not want. This is the last portion of that scripture. Want in the Hebrew means lacking, to lack, need, be lacking, or decrease. So let's replace that phrase using those words. It could mean, I shall not lack, I shall not need, I shall not be lacking, I shall not decrease. That is like my favorite part of that. I shall not decrease. I almost want to say amen out loud. So there you go. Amen. I shall not decrease. A little preaching going on. Let's look at this. I do not lack when faced with temptations. Yet in the temptation, there can be gain. Let's look at the scripture in James 1, 3, and 4. And it states, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. In the King James Version, it reads, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So let's look at this. What starts happening with temptations start coming into our lives and trials start happening into our lives. What we tend to do, or actually I'll be honest with you, what I tend to do is I start comparing the trial or that temptation to my current ability. And by golly, that just seems insurmountable for most part. Well, every time. So I see this as insurmountable because I'm looking at my lack of ability to come into this trial or to face this temptation. And then what starts taking hold inside of me is that apprehension or that anxiety. What I need to recall is this scripture, that there's a purpose in this. It's just now reconnecting me. All right, we're sorry for the technical difficulties, and we're really not sure when that call was dropped, but we're going to pick it up in knowing that life develops me, so I will not lack. In this, we can grasp the concept and realize that it was not necessary for us to continuously ask for the removal of this test or this trial or this temptation, but ask for wisdom to make right use of what I am to learn, what I'm going to gain, or how I'm going to respond to this temptation. Mostly in life, we have learned to react to things. But what's important is that we learn to respond to things. And when we learn to respond to things, we're operating in wisdom. And we pray that that wisdom comes directly from the Lord above, because he says, if you need wisdom, all you have to do is ask. Also, what's good about this and the understanding is that I'm developing patience through these trials and these temptations according to the Word of God. And you know, that helps us when our passion is fading. Sometimes we just have this great passion, this great desire, but these things just keep happening and I just can't see my passion coming into play and my desires are not coming. Even though the Word of God says he will give me the desires of my heart, but by golly, where's it at, God? I've been holding on to this for so long that I start to have a fading in my passion. But yet through this temptation and this trial, even though my passion is fading, what does the Word of God tell me that I'm learning? I'm learning patience. So when my passion is fading, my patience will stand. And the longer I stand with my patience, guess what's going to return to me? My passion is going to come back. And I'll tell you what, as long as the Lord has put that desire and passion within you, it is always going to be there. It's never going to leave you, because that is something that he gives you. So through my patience, I learn to continue to stand, and then my passion will be restored to me. Let's look at the next portion where it says, I shall not want, meaning I shall not decrease. This is the one I really like. I shall not decrease. Well, if I'm not decreasing, that means I'm increasing somehow, right? Isn't that what the Word of God is all about in our Christian walk? I'm increasing. So my life and the things in my life does not minimize me. Anything that I face, whether it be divorce, illness, any type of financial loss, listen, that does not minimize you. Coming out of that can be gain. Remember, I shall not decrease. Listen, God has given us all we need for our growth. It's understanding that the same spirit that rose Jesus Christ from the dead is the same spirit that's dwelling inside of me. All right? And not only is it inside of me, it's inside of my sisters in the Lord too. Okay? So whatever happens in life, that we can grow from it, it does not minimize us. Also understanding that the same spirit that's inside of me is in others, I also have to realize that God has given gifts, okay? And these gifts are to be used for his glory. And the more I use these gifts, the more I gain in these gifts. I can grow in the Lord and his gifts and callings, and his confidence becomes my confidence. That's pretty cool. Not a conceited type of thing where we kind of flip our hair around, put our shoulders back and look in the mirror and think we're all that. It is a confidence. It's knowing that, you know what, God, you're in me and you have given me gifts and you've given me callings and all these trials and all these things that I'm happening in my life is not taking away from that gift and the calling. So I'm not decreasing. Oh no, dear God, I am growing. I am growing in all these things. And then we have our confidence in him. I think there's some ladies out there that need to stop next time you see your reflection in a window or a mirror, and you need to look at that lady looking back at you and say, you got it. All right? You got to say you got it. We got to stop tearing ourselves down every time we look at ourselves and go, you know, I just think I don't have it anymore. You know, I think that just took it right out of me. That just, life is just taking things right out of me. No, you need to look in the mirror and you need to say, you've got it. Because it's by his spirit that you have got it. And those gifts are placed in you. And let me tell you something. No matter how young you are or how old you are, those gifts do not go away. They are there, and they are there for you to use for his glory until he returns for you or you go by the grave. So there's a challenge for you. Next time you see your reflection in the mirror or a window, wherever you may be, you look at yourself and say, you've got it. Be confident. Be confident in the gifts that the Lord has placed in you. And in that, remember, you're not going to decrease. There's just going to be gain. The next scripture I want to look at is in 1 Corinthians 1:7. It says, therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gifts as you eagerly wait for the Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. Not to question the gifts that are given to you and confirmed in you by his spirit. And you're not inferior to any other Christians. The same God that's in someone else is the same God that's in you. You don't fall behind in these gifts, and you're meant to use them until he returns. The next portion I want to look at. I shall not want, meaning I shall not lack good things. In Psalms 34 and 10, it says, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not lack any good. And the scripture that we can learn in life, that being proud, self-seeking, and immature in our ways will leave us empty and in want. Yet, when I live a life that's seeking the Lord and seeking His wisdom and His ways and His thoughts above myself, His good will come. All right? Because every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. The next portion I want to look at comes from Philippians 4:19. It says, I shall not one need in our life. Okay? You'll notice in that scripture it doesn't say that it's plural. There's only one need in our life, and that is Jesus Christ Himself. And it's by His grace that this need is met, and it is met in abundance. And we need to walk in that grace and accept that abundance and understand that we want for nothing and all our need has been met. Now I want us to take a few minutes and ponder a few things. This comes back to you personally. This is between you and the Lord, and only something the two of you can decide. And here's your question. What do you believe? You know, I've given you scriptures from the Bible, but we also have to remember that the Bible is for believers. In 1 Corinthians 2 and 14, it states, but a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised. As Christians, we know that it is the Spirit that helps us to understand these biblical principles. You see, anyone can read the Bible as just a good old book or some stories, but who can truly comprehend the application of it in a believer's life? It's the believer. All right, so it is the Spirit of the Lord within us that helps us to understand what the Word of God means to us and the application thereof in our life. What you believe about God becomes what you believe about yourself. Do you believe Christ is your shepherd, Jehovah, your provider? Is there a joyful satisfaction in the care of a great shepherd who is over the universe, a redeemer, a preserver of all mankind? Can you truly be found in His care, considered His sheep, who can live daily, unharmed, feeding on His provisions for your life as you are under His care, His skillful, watchful, the tender shepherd's care of your soul? What do you believe? Do you truly believe that your soul cannot be harmed? Do you really believe that no harm can come to you? That the greatest protection that the Lord Jesus Christ offers is of grace to your soul? Now, you got to know that as a Christian, it doesn't mean your life's not going to be without pain and things that hurt you. And you know, God will allow pain and loss. And I think we also need to understand that our physical being is not necessarily one of His greatest concerns. So guess what? Things are going to happen to you. His greatest concern is our soul. And ladies, He will permit life to happen to gain your soul. I'm going to repeat that. Ladies, He will permit life to happen to gain your soul so He can truly become your shepherd. And you can truly have that personal relationship with Him. And you can say, my shepherd. Christ must be your shepherd. That's where it all begins. It's the foundational piece. It's the cornerstone. And for the application of the word that we shared with you this evening, ladies, we have got to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. As a shepherd leads, He guides. There's a scripture in Isaiah 30:21. It states, your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way. Walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right or to the left. In life, when we are directed or redirected by the Holy Spirit, it is important that we don't resist or rebel. It's important that we move with Him, even or especially when the move doesn't make any sense to us. In fact, it looks quite ridiculous or just not the way that you imagine it should be. God, really? You're my shepherd and you're leading me into this? This does not look right. I don't think I want to go. I think I'm going to turn and go the other way. But ladies, here's what's important is to submit yourself to His Holy Spirit. He's going to lead you, He's going to guide you, and He will keep you safe and protected. He cares for you. So even when it doesn't make any sense to you, follow his lead. Now I want to look also why we would resist the Holy Spirit and his lead. Contemplate this. Only you can answer it. Could it be your selfish desire? Not what I really want, God. I wanted this instead. Maybe I do not want to change. I've always been this way. You know the thing that I say, and if my sisters are listening, they're going to get a kick out of this. It's the I blood. We're I girls. Well, that just gives us permission to have just a little bit of an attitude. All right? Got any of that going on in your family, ladies? Hey, that's just how we are, right? Guess what? That is not anything but an excuse when it comes to resisting the Holy Spirit. You're going to have to shake off those excuses, girls. Come on now. It's time to be women of the Lord. Here's another one. Why do we resist? Because my ways are better. Ooh, really now, girls? How good of a life has your ways given you thus far? Think about that. So you're God over God? You're going to be the God over your own life, but yet claim that he's your shepherd? I think we need a good little attitude check before we're having that opinion. Our ways are not better. In fact, the Bible states his ways are higher. His thoughts are greater. My goodness, it goes beyond my imagination. So if I can imagine this, could you imagine how much greater it could be? Oh, let's submit to his ways. Here's another thing that I think some of us can relate to. Why would we resist? Because I identify with my pain. You see, this labels me. This is who I am. And if you take this pain away, then I can no longer be a victim. I kind of like being labeled like this. Come on, ladies. Let's not be going around labeling ourselves other than we're going to label ourselves the child of the king. Let's be women of the word. And let's understand that we are to be victorious. All right? Not victims. Okay? Another reason why we resist is we do not fear him. And when I mean fear, I don't mean you're shaking there afraid. We're not afraid of God. We fear him because we revere him and we honor him. He's God. Okay? So when you think about reasons why you resist, consider those, evaluate those. And really, if they're just excuses, we need to understand excuses do not work. And they do not benefit our spirit life. When it comes to looking at the Lord as our shepherd, remember, ladies, he's omnipotent. He knows all his sheep. He knows where to find them. He knows their case. He knows what is to be done for them. And being omnipotent, he can do everything proper for you. And having all power in heaven and earth, can protect, defend, and save. And all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge being in him, he can guide and direct them, you, in the best manner. Wherefore, he is called the Great Shepherd, we have heard. He has also been referred to as the Good Shepherd. But notice in this scripture, David calls him my shepherd. Take a moment to reflect in your heart and say, can I say that like David did? Because you know, David went through a lot. I mean, take time to look through the Psalms. Oh my goodness, how the man ever held on. Some of us might wonder, right? He was depressed most of the time. He had people chasing after him, wanting his life most of the time. And here he reflects and looks on the care, the tender care, and the provision that the Lord has given him. And he says, my shepherd. So ladies, can you reflect and say, my shepherd? Is he your shepherd? Do you trust him? Do you trust him with any illness, any pain, your finances? Do you trust him to always know where you are in life and what your case is all about? Do you believe he knows how to guide you to what is best for you, even when it doesn't make any sense? Can you say with confidence, my shepherd, and believe you shall not want? In understanding this passage of Scripture, your life can be found in living. When you understand God is your own, he is personal, and he's looking out for you, protecting you, caring for you. Can the shepherd say you are his sheep? Have you truly received him, believed in him, and determined to live your life for him? Do you know his voice? The one that speaks directly to your soul? John 10:27-28 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Ladies, life is found in living. And living begins when there's mutual recognition between you and the Lord. He then reciprocates eternal life that no one can snatch away. At the close of this, I would like to say a prayer over you. And I pray that in your spirit, woman, that this just catches inside of you. And you truly understand that the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not want. And you can hear his voice. Some of you out there are struggling to hear the voice of God. Ladies, you can hear him. You can hear him. And you can draw closer to him. Spend your time in prayer. Spend your time in the Word. His voice will become clear to you. Then your life is really found in living. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, first of all, we thank you for this day that you've given us, Lord, and help us to learn as your children to rejoice in it no matter the given circumstance, because we know, Father God, that you're leading us through it. And we know, Father God, that we can gain confidence in this given circumstance and come out on the end, enduring with patience, Father God, and redeveloping our passion for you. Father God, I pray for any woman that's hearing this, Father God, that is struggling with fears of relationship, Father God, that they have had in this world, but they're allowing that fear to come between you and them. Father God, we know that perfect love casts out all fear, Father God. We know that's not our love for one another. That's not even our love for you, but that is your love for us. Father God, may they be found in that perfect love. And Lord, if there's anyone that's listening that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior and cannot truly say from the bottom of their heart that he is my shepherd, Lord, this is what this ministry is all about, is bringing other souls into you. And Father God, I pray that your spirit works through this message and brings them in, bring the sheep into the fold, Father God, so that you can care for them, that you can tenderly care for them, Father God, in this life. In Jesus' name we pray and ask. Amen.
I just want to thank Evangelist Sheila Gervais for that message. We are very excited once again to carry out our prayer. Once again, as she closes, that you internalize this. Let it sink deep into your heart, into your mind, into your soul, and into your spirit. Let it change you from the inside out. And so we're going to be, she is going to continue this on the 28th. She'll probably go into verse 2. But we ask you to not only enjoy these messages on Blog Talk Radio, but also visit us on www.bodyandloveworshipcenter.com. You see in our contact information. Join us on Facebook at Body and Love Worship Center. We would love to have you follow us. We post anywhere from one to, sometimes if God moves us, we'll post three or four a day. Just things that just carry on through the day to challenge you, to equip you. And so share that also with others. And so we praise God for what he is doing. And so we pray for you that every message you hear, every time you hear us minister, you let it change you from the inside out. Remember, you live in Christ. You're living in abiding love. And we thank you for listening. You have a great day.